Penguin Random House Audio presents On Location by Sarah Echevarri Smith. Read for you by Donabella Mortel. Chapter 1. I never thought brie cheese could be so infuriating. But infuriated is exactly how I feel as I watch the man sitting in front of me in this packed New York City subway car pull a wheel of brie from his jacket pocket. He takes noisy, sloppy bites, like he's eating an apple. I bite back a curse and try not to gag. On any other day, I'd take this scene in stride. This is the subway during a Friday evening commute, after all. Weird stuff is bound to happen, and normally I'd be down to people watch. But after the day I've had, witnessing a stranger noisily devour a round of soft cheese as I stand 1 foot away is the last straw. My well of patience is depleted, and I've got no more fucks to give.
You've got to be freaking kidding me, I mutter to myself, not caring one bit if he hears.
My phone buzzes in my pocket between stations. Haley. Want me to slash Byron's tires? Just say the word and it's done. I crack a smile. It's the first time my mouth has curved upward ever since this morning's failed pitch, the reason for my current sour mood. Me. As long as you're okay with taking the heat. I'm currently on the subway headed home. I don't have the energy to make my way from Brooklyn to Manhattan to bail you out. Haley. You won't have to. I won't get caught. Winking smiley face. I chuckle. This text exchange with my coworker and best friend is the perfect distraction. I glance around the car, packed to the max with commuters eager to get the hell home, just like me. I inhale, then promptly wrinkle my nose at the smell of BO, smoke, urine, and stale fast food. This is Brooklyn Bridge, City Hall, the automated voice announces through the speaker system as we shudder to a stop. The doors fly open and a wave of people push their way onto the car while a handful try to walk out. I close my eyes and sigh. Every single time. Everyone knows that you're supposed to let people get off the train first before you walk on. It's such a simple rule. But this city is riddled with rule breakers. Like the brie cheese guy, who is now eating a giant, smelly egg salad sandwich and washing it down with a can of beer. He lets out a loud belch that doesn't seem to faze anyone else sitting or standing in this packed-to-the-brim car. I hold in a groan. Isn't it enough that we're permitted to consume food on crowded mass transportation? Why does he have to eat one of the stinkiest foods imaginable and drink alcohol? I'm in the mood to guzzle copious amounts of liquor after the day I've had, but I'm not about to down a bottle of whiskey on the subway. I wonder if network executive Byron would think that's risky enough, openly consuming alcohol in the subway in direct defiance of mass transit policy. I shake my head and look away, annoyed that I can't seem to shed my awful attitude. But I can't help it, because today I had a shot at my dream. The dream I've been working toward ever since I graduated college and started working in television. And I lost it. That's why Haley is texting me, to comfort me because she knows just how much this kills. As someone who works in TV production, I'm used to being disappointed. I've spent my entire career working for Expedition TV, the most popular travel-themed channel on cable. When I started as an intern and production assistant, I worked long hours, often having my ideas shot down because they were too ambitious or because I was too inexperienced. But the disappointment of rejection was easy to brush off because I got to spend the bulk of my 20s traveling all over the U.S., working on shows that documented the most beautiful parts of the country. I also learned an important lesson early on. The TV industry isn't for the faint of heart. If I didn't have it in me to keep trying, keep working hard, keep amassing years of experience while learning the industry ropes, then I wasn't cut out for this business. So that's exactly what I did. For 9 years, I slept in tents and cars while on shoots, took countless red-eye flights, pulled all-nighters to rewrite scripts scheduled to shoot the next morning, and rode in rickety, puddle-jumper airplanes across rugged terrain to capture their remote beauty. But this was my passion, and I couldn't imagine doing anything else. It was my dream to work for Expedition when I was a kid. I couldn't get enough of the nature programs about odd-looking animals with cool-sounding names, or the shows featuring hosts backpacking all over the world, places I had dreamed of visiting. I watched with wide eyes, dreaming of when I would grow up and make shows like this. That's how I got to where I am now, a producer for Expedition TV. Today, I was as close as I've ever been to making my dream come true. I pitched my very own outdoor series. It's inspired by a childhood road trip through Utah that I took with my brother and Arapong to visit all 5 national parks in the state. Even now, I still remember how awestruck I was at the endless adobe-hued rock formations, the fiery colors of the sand and dirt. "Beautiful," Apong Lida whispered as she held my hand, her smoky topaz eyes wide as she scanned the scenery around her. "I've never seen anything like it before. I'm so glad I get to see it with my grandbabies." I don't think Apong Lida, my brother, or I blinked once the entire 2-week trip. There were too many stunning sights, impossibly red cliffs lining the horizon, eye-popping rock formations that could have come straight out of a sci-fi movie, and desert shrubbery that I'd never seen before. "I want to highlight the national parks in a way they haven't been before," I said this morning to Byron during my pitch. Buzzing with excitement, I described my idea for a 12-episode series called Discovering Utah. Each episode would follow a host as they explored not only the most popular trails and attractions, but hidden gems in each park as well. Breathtaking shots of the landscape cut with modern music would be the backdrop. "It would be the ultimate outdoor adventure program," I said. All Byron did was stare at the paper handout in front of him. It included all the data I could compile on viewership, ratings, and our audience's interest in hiking and national parks, and explained how it related to my series concept. All those numbers, charts, and graphs I put together showed how Discovering Utah was sure to be a hit with viewers. When he finally looked up at me, an unimpressed frown was all he had to offer. And then he dove into the million reasons why my series could never work. "An overdone concept. The national parks are antiquated. There's no real hook." My chest aches recalling how he tossed the papers I printed out for him onto the conference table, like all those months of researching and rehearsing this pitch meant nothing. "It's a cute idea, Alia," he said, while flashing his trademark condescending expression, a raised eyebrow and pursed lips. "But if you want to succeed here at Expedition, you gotta be willing to take risks. This pitch is too safe, and you won't get anywhere in this business if you keep playing it safe." I release my death grip on the metal pole and shake my hand out, careful not to hit the person next to me in the subway car. I should have known better than to feel optimistic. Byron is notorious for being the hardest sell of all the execs, and his tastes are damn near impossible to discern. He's rejected groundbreaking concepts and given the green light to boring ideas that are canceled after a few episodes. In the back of my mind, I wonder if I should have pitched my idea for an international travel show that popped into my head years ago. I called it Hidden Gem Island Getaways. I wanted to start in Palawan, my mom and Apong's favorite place to visit in the Philippines when they lived there.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?